Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast. I think you know where to subscribe to it. We hope you have, and we hope you've given us a review. 5 stars, preferably. All of our shows hosted at checkoutjazz.org and produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. I don't know if you noticed, but last month, the blockchain had a coming out party in the arts world in the form of NFTs. The public learned all about them, maybe through Beeple. In case you don't know, NFT stands for non-fungible token, and it's basically a new asset class where you can make scarce, rarefied digital work preserved in the blockchain, made especially for artists, visual artists, and also musicians. And many believe that this is a complete game changer, myself included. And The Checkout was all over it, co-hosting a live stream along with Jazz Times Magazine in celebration of the world's first jazz NFT drop with the violinist Miguel Atwood Ferguson, the pianist Greg Spiro, and the animator Olivia Von Hearn. We recorded the live stream on April 10th, and we gathered together forward-thinking industry leaders to celebrate the release that was called Maiden Voyage. Pretty appropriate. Also a nod to the technologist, piano great Herbie Hancock. Maiden Voyage consists of a 6-track album along with a short animated film. And you can purchase it with a bag of Ethereum on OpenSea. That's OpenSea.io, but just go to MaidenVoyage.io. Leading up to the Maiden Voyage drop by the pianist Greg Spiro, he also maybe did a first in the jazz industry, performing a live concert in front of a live audience in a virtual reality space known as NFT Oasis. We're going to talk all about that mind-melting experience, including talking to two of its founders of NFT Oasis, Will O'Brien and Patrick Booth Jr. Not only does NFT Oasis serve as a new concert venue, basically, that artists can go into, but a place where they can share their freshly minted NFTs at the same time. And then later in the program, we're going to bring in the multi-readist Oran Ekin and the Ropadote Records founder Lewis Marks for a larger conversation about the decentralized finance revolution entering the jazz space. The future of music is here on today's edition of The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. If Blau can sell his album for $12 million, then what's the original master of Kind of Blue worth?
Good question. Good question. We should get Vince Wilburn on the phone and have a conversation about it.
So if there are any other official jazz or jazz adjacent NFT drops or celebrations that have happened already, please hit us up. Let us know, because honestly, we couldn't find any. At maidenvoyage.io, you can see what may be the first jazz NFT offering. How did the collaboration happen?
So Miguel Atwood Ferguson and I met years ago. It's got to be about 10 years ago when I first moved to LA. And we were connected originally through our love and our passion for Buddhism, really, mindfulness in general. But we both practice Buddhism via the Soka Gakkai International. So we started out with a strong connection through that. And then eventually we heard each other's music and we decided we had to play together. And Miguel has since been one of the greatest musical inspirations that I've had. This one piece that we released is a very special piece to me. It's completely improvised. It's a special captured moment when souls really connect. We actually recorded for hours that day. I've got the full thing. And this one nugget was something that we were like, man, we have to put this out. This is a special situation.
listen to the full album, going to maidenvoyage.io and buying the NFT right now. And there's only 1,000 copies.
Yeah, that's correct. So this is sort of like the equivalent of a vinyl record for digital. It's an NFT. For those of you who don't know, it's a scarce digital asset. It's housed on the blockchain, so only one person can actually own it, but it can be transferred between people. So we're minting 1,000 copies of this improvisation, and they're currently available at maidenvoyage.io as part of an NFT drop with Olivia Hearn, who did the art for it.
Please tell us about yourself. What's your story?
I am a freelance theatrical designer and animator. And so when the pandemic hit, I started turning way more into digital art. And I had been spending this past year doing various animated music videos and short films, starting with, you know, the bands of my friends and working out until I was able to connect to Greg and Miguel to create this really cool project. I like doing things that feel made by hand, but can transcend into like a more digital space. So I personally work with hand-drawn cell animation.
It's like stop animation, like William Pentridge kind of stuff.
Exactly. So yeah, like transition that handmade thing into something digital that could then be applied into this new digital NFT space.
When it came to this specific piece of music, did you choose the section that you wanted to animate?
Greg showed me the whole piece and I just sat and listened to it. And you know, when you just like listen to music and you close your eyes and you just sort of let all the colors behind your eyes just fly around. That was my experience at least. And I went and I picked out two of my favorite sections and gave them to Greg. And I immediately started to see it as the tumultuous journey of a relationship over time between two forces, two beings, and then just being pulled apart and pulled together and soaring love and emotion and being ripped apart and crawling back to each other in these sort of twisting moments of two people who it might not work out for them to be together, and yet they can't really let each other go. And so
I love you, Greg. Don't leave me, Greg.
Miguel. Come on. How many individual stills are there in that animation, Olivia?
Oh my God, I couldn't even count. The way I work is I draw each frame, but I do it in layers. So how long is the song? Like 3 minutes? So that's 300 frames, but then each frame is like five frames.
Wow.
So we'll just chew on that for a second.
What about you, Miguel? What was happening in that moment musically with you and Greg? Why is your chemistry, if I might use that word, right?
Yeah.
Creating music on the fly.
Yeah. Being able to improvise with one of the world's greatest musicians, Greg Spirou, it's just an amazing joy. And it's like being lifted up. I was purposely playing some really weird notes because I just wanted to see what he would do with it. We were talking over the phone and just hanging out for years before we actually made music together. That might have been, it was either the first or second time we got together to improvise. The music is a reflection of a lot of the conversations that we've had. And we're trying to break new ground, you know, emotionally and spiritually. I can feel that. It's a cosmic conversation based upon our belief in that, yes, we can keep on expanding, you know, our capacity as a human being and empathy and compassion.
What was then the decision for you guys to come together and do the NFT thing? And what were your initial first reactions?
I'll start by saying, like, I sort of blindsided both of them with it, Miguel and Olivia. I've been involved in the tech world for my whole life and very interested in new technologies, especially as they relate to artists. One of the things I did at the beginning of the pandemic was start a platform called WeBid, which people can see at weebid.app, which is a new way for artists to monetize and get to know their fan base. As people who have insight into the music world start to develop these technologies, some of the things bubble up to the surface. And NFTs piqued my interest because I couldn't really see, I mean, we'll talk about the positives and negatives in it, but I couldn't see a fatal flaw in the manifestation of it. And the upside of it was the creation of something which artists have needed for the last 20 years, which is a form of digital scarcity. Because the digital revolution made it so content can be infinitely replicated. And once artists can have digital scarcity, then our music becomes valuable again. And I say that with the deepest of gravity, because the fact that music was not scarce, the digital files were not scarce, made it practically worthless in the eyes of a lot of people. It's been very hard to make money off of selling music, because you can stream it on Spotify and Spotify just doesn't pay very much when you get a stream, you know?
It's a marketing platform, Greg.
Well, it is now. Now Spotify's a marketing platform. And you say that jokingly, but that's actually what it is. And now that we have NFTs, that's okay. As long as NFTs live, you know, you never know. It's like with Bitcoin, something could break and it could all go down the tubes, but it hasn't broken yet. And as long as it keeps going on the trajectory that it's going, even if it has a dip, which it I'm sure will, just like cryptocurrency did, if we keep on this general track, there's an entirely new world for creatives to monetize their work. And creatives have been struggling, especially over the past year, because concerts were our last resort. That was the last thing that we had to make money. And when those went away with COVID, people were put into very dire straits. And now this sort of light at the end of the tunnel that we're seeing with the new technologies that were developed. And if artists can make a living by creating assets that then can then be traded that keep their inherent value, it means an entirely new world for creatives. I'm encouraging the jazz community to get on board with this, because this is not only a way to support the arts, but it's a way to invest in the arts. That's the big difference here, is when you buy an NFT, you can sell that NFT. It's digitally scarce. So it's not going to someone's Patreon and giving them $10. It's spending $1,000 on a work that somebody created that might be worth $10,000 in a few years as that artist grows and becomes more popular. So it's a completely different dynamic.
You're listening to Movement 5 from Miguel Albert Ferguson and Greg Spiro from their Duets project. Go to maidenvoyage.io or on our website, checkoutjazz.org, and learn more about their NFT offering. The album is also streaming on Spotify. Now back to the podcast.
Greg, not only are you messing with people's brains doing this non-fungible token thing, but you're also dabbling in the virtual reality space with two forward-thinking entrepreneurs and all-around great guys that I'm bringing into the discussion right now, Will O'Brien and Patrick Booth Jr. of NFT Oasis. What's up, guys?
Hi, everybody. My name is Will O'Brien, and I'm the CEO of NFT Oasis. I played music my whole life, and you know, music and arts are so important to us, and we feel that this is a very important moment in the music and arts world. You know, I think when we look back at decades of exploitation in the music world, we look back at the last 10 years of the social dilemma and how social media has kind of ripped us apart. And then the last year of COVID, quarantine, social and racial injustice, this is a moment where we're feeling a lot of toxicity. And what brings us out of that toxicity? It's the musicians, it's the artists that change the culture. And what's happened with the Clubhouse effect, right? This app called Clubhouse allows people to get on and listen from their heroes, their mentors, their people that they admire, and break down those walls of communication. And now with this NFT phenomenon, we're leveraging that communication, new communication corridor, to create an abundant economy around music and arts so that people can invest, as Greg said, into the artist, and the non-fungible tokens will retain value and will pour money back into its ecosystem. So we see that the NFT movement is actually fueling this revolution that is going to dawn the new renaissance. And that's what I'm just absolutely thrilled about. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm an angel investor. I've been in the blockchain crypto space since 2012. I was the founder and CEO of one of the early companies called BitGo. And I've invested across the space in a number of projects. And so I've, together with my co-founders, Patrick, and also BT, who is a legendary in the EDM space and film soundtrack artist, Jesse Nolan as well, and Greg Edwards, who is a VR legend who built Burning Man in VR last year with his team, we've come together to build an open format, immersive virtual world called the NFT Oasis, where artists and musicians that are embracing this NFT phenomenon can have a virtual stage and a world where they can hang their art, and they can perform, they can have fireside chats and conversations with the community to bring life to this movement, to help show what the value is in these NFTs. So the community can enter either in VR or can watch the party happening, watch the movement happening over live stream like this. This is an opportunity for an abundant, forward-looking ecosystem where the artists reclaim their value in the society and that people can invest in them. I'm very excited about it.
Hey, everybody. I'm Patrick Booth Jr. I am a full stack developer, smart contract engineer, also musician, creative. I just love music. I love how it can exist on a decentralized ledger and people can sort of like not only partake in the sort of listening and sharing of it and generate royalties alongside the artist, but also they can collect artifacts known as these non-fungible tokens and create long-lasting experiences that appreciate in the long term. I feel like what we're doing at NFT Oasis is providing a much more social, substantial use case around VR applications. What we did with Greg Sparrows was just the tip of the iceberg.
You said you both are musicians yourselves, so what do you play? And where do you navigate in that space?
I play piano and guitar and sing. I actually released my first solo improvisational piano album on Spotify in January and Apple Music. It's called Janui, which is the Latin etymological root for Janus, the god of two faces, January, the turning point. So it's a passageways, portal, two-way doors, live improvisation. Now at age 40, I've launched my first album, but I've been, you know, running companies for over a decade. I grew up listening to Weather Report and Miles, and I love Greg's music so much. That he performed in the NFT Oasis is just incredible.
So maybe in the context of what happened over three nights with Greg, what happened there? And then what are the plans you have in the future?
We built the NFT Oasis on a platform called AltSpace. AltSpace is a platform owned by Microsoft. It's a platform in which you can build open virtual worlds. What we built is this utopian gallery in the sky. We've been living in a flat world for a long time, right? We've been living on websites. We're on Clubhouse. We don't really have the ability in this COVID world and also in just our very global world to get together and understand what the value is. So we built the NFT Oasis. It's a place where artists can come in and display their art and hold meetings and fireside chats and parties and drop parties. So this is a community of artists that are embracing this. They're finding a way to earn a living and learn from each other. Last year, we built Burning Man in VR. So we took the playa, digitized it, brought it onto AltSpace, and then we empowered a community of creators, some of whom have never worked in 3D before, to build over 200 virtual worlds. During the Burn Week, when Burning Man was canceled, people came into this virtual playa with 200 virtual worlds. We had over 15,000 unique people in the space visiting almost 100,000 times. And it was 1,500 hours of DJ, programming, talks, everything you can imagine. So we've learned from that having a social first experience in this immersive world, whether you're joining from your Oculus headset, whether you're joining from a Mac or PC, or whether you're just watching the party on YouTube Live, it's really powerful. We're going to be inviting a new artist every day to come into this space and start to fill in these worlds with their live performances and with unique creation. Part of our mission here is to invest in underserved artists. We're going to be launching a minting fund that allows people to apply to get resources and to get mentorship. And we're going to also be providing a lot of information about how to create an NFT. If you're looking for an opportunity to collaborate with another artist, perhaps you're a visual artist like Olivia, looking to create a work with a musician or vice versa, we want to be the place where you learn how to do NFT. You can do it safely. It's beautiful. There's something that's happened here, and I don't think we're ever going back. By that, I mean, we're going to get back. We're going to get vaccines. We're going to have, travel again. But I think what we've done is we've kind of opened the Pandora's box in a positive way, that we now are providing accessibility to artists around the world. Greg was playing a couple of nights ago, and we'll hop into that world in a minute. And when he was playing a couple of nights ago, there were people from all over the world, from Eastern Europe and from East Asia, all over the world, that came in here and play, and were actually physically in the hall with him when he was playing.
What are we about to hear, Greg? What's the song?
I have the full 1 hour show that I just started to dive into right before we started this live stream, but I think I found the part where I go into one of my sort of flagship pieces, a piece titled Find. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Greg Sparrow giving the very first concert ever hosted on NFT Oasis, playing his composition Find.
What a wild experience. Oh, how are you floating up there? That's cool.
After the concert, Simon, I got to tell you that all the people bombed the stage and were taking photos with Greg. And you can take selfies in the platform. So people are taking selfies with Greg, coming around, asking questions. People, the human brain just says, this is Greg. This is the piano. I'm there with him. And the same emotional dopamine, serotonin hits are happening. And it's incredible how people just been locked up. And now they got to hear Greg Sparrow perform live and we're there. Now imagine, you know, the future. The NFT is your ticket to get there. And it's personalized as your souvenir on the way out. And now how motivated are you to go help bid up that artist and, you know, help them continue to play? So this is what we're crystallizing in this revolution. It's the NFTs have created a wedge to break into this industry and break it apart and let the artists really win and control their destiny go forward.
This is a great transition point now as we come out of the NFT Oasis specifically and just talk about NFTs as it relates to the artist on the ground making the work. I'd like to bring in our other distinguished guest, Lewis Marks from Ropadope Records, Oran Etkin, the amazing clarinetist. Now, I know, Lewis, you have some plans regarding an NFT. I just saw the press release come, the first one, I believe. So maybe you'd like to share with our audience what that is. What were those talks like with Christian McBride and Questlove, I imagine?
The things that we're trying to put together, the things that I've been focusing on are, I guess now you'd call them traditional use cases, how to tie physical product to NFTs. And the first thing we're doing is repressing for the first time in 20 years, the Philadelphia Experiment. You know, this is a legacy Ropadope album. It really defines not just musically what we've done over 20 years, but also kind of that independent concept. And it's really funny to go back 20 years and look at, that's one of the first times somebody said, here's some money, go in the studio and make whatever music you like, you know? And now here we are in 2021, and that's pretty much what most people are doing, right? The process is this: we're going to etch the original stamper for the vinyl with a code from the blockchain, and we're gonna mint 1,010 NFTs. And then there will be a QR code printed on each vinyl label that will take you directly to collect your NFT, thereby proving that you bought copy one, copy two, copy three, whatever, whichever one it is, in order, and verifying it as an NFT. You know, a lot of people put out limited edition, one of 1,000, but there's really no oversight or particular way to prove that somebody didn't print 1,500 or 1,010 or 1,050. You know, somebody could press some extras and take them home. So we think that that adds value to the album.
Oran, when I invited you to this session, you immediately had some questions that, and I thought maybe you could just pose those questions that you had for me to the people here, and hopefully they have some lucid answers for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, I see a lot of hope in the NFT, and I think that it's very crucial that we have scarcity in our product. I think that's really important, and I see a huge potential and hope for this. Putting on my skeptic hat, I was chatting earlier today also with Ben Allison about how the collector's perspective is about how much this piece of music will be worth in the future. So it's speculation, it's speculating on an investment. And that's a very different motivation to purchase something than enjoying the music. And right now, you know, when we had downloads and people, you know, back in, you know, when people download MP3s, they would download it in order to enjoy the music. And when I look at the art world, for example, you know, you see people buying paintings and for huge sums of money in order to invest in them. And then they just have them locked in their basement somewhere or in a vault somewhere, just as an investment. And it gets away from the notion of, I'm buying this because I love the music. And then that kind of begs the question, are the people who are going to be successful at this, are the people who are going to be able to, you know, to make money with this and to draw investors, are those the people who have the best music, whatever that means, best and music, that's not an objective term, but are these people who are going to move people with their music, or are these people who are going to basically, is the music just going to be put aside and the investment potential of return on this be the thing that comes back?
I think the short answer is yes, all of that, and it's good. So it's good that that will happen. And the reason that it's different here as opposed to the painting art world is if I have a song that exists out in the world and it's on streaming platforms, anybody can listen to it. But if I have an NFT of that song, that's the same song that anyone can listen to on the streaming platform. But that NFT is a token on the blockchain denoting that that's the one original piece that I can have for investment purposes because I believe that that song has value. It might be because it has a billion streams on Spotify that I feel like it has value. So rather than taking something away from the public and saying, like, I'm going to keep this locked in my basement, an NFT is denoting value of something that exists fully for the public, but it's creating value in a different universe of value. So now you can invest in those same people that everybody else can enjoy, and you can have that intrinsic investment potential of that asset. Like, that's why this is a seismic shift in my mind, because we're creating another whole layer of value. Like, you can look at it metaphorically in a couple different ways, a new universe, a new layer. But it's not the stream. The listening to the music is something you can do either way. It's the ownership of the original piece of that music that is something you couldn't do before, that now you could do with virtually every piece of music. Any artist can mint the original version of their song that can be enjoyed by everybody else, but now has intrinsic value that allows other people to invest in that artist. So it'll empower artists to have more money to do more art and to make a living so they don't have to go get a day job. If they're a great artist, people are looking for great artists that are undiscovered now for this very reason. Because if you buy an early NFT from an artist who is undiscovered and then they blow up, that NFT goes way up in value.
May I jump in? I realize that most people don't really understand like the aspects of like NFTs when it comes down to royalty rights and people issuing royalty rights for their NFTs on these different smart contract platforms. So there's a way for an artist to either do exclusive listening rights or royalty rights. And the royalty rights pretty much enable people to collect royalties on a specific platform, which adds like a ridiculous amounts of liquidity to, let's say, the purchasing power that you generate from your NFT itself, right? Which is really powerful. It's like you're creating a realm of passive income, not only for you and your collaborator, but also your investor at the same time. And it's all trustless. And that's literally the most beautiful part about it. It's enabling all these different royalties to be distributed, all the parties involved, without some clearinghouse, you know, such as your BMI or your ASCAP, your PRO, etc. It just comes down to sending out a different streaming platform web link to your fan base if you choose to leverage that sort of technology.
I'd love to speak to that from a label perspective. I mean, everything that I've seen in the business is that artists are scrambling to find revenue to make music, and then they make a lot of other things in the process, you know, photography, art, videos, social media posts, access via social media. There are hundreds of different sort of creative things that happen around a record release that everyone is creating for free and throwing out there for free. Now we're looking at it, and artists are asking me, you know, what is this NFT space? And I said, well, you know, we don't know where it's going to go yet. There are going to be those kind of use cases where you'll tie in revenue from streaming services. But my advice to them right now is stop thinking of everything that you do as some sort of promotion for your live shows or for your record sales and start thinking of it as creative assets. And there are all kinds of things that I think are going to happen. I mean, I'm looking at hundreds of album covers on the wall here. Why are they not NFTs? Why can't someone own the original album cover? All the photos that get tossed out when you do a photo shoot, right? They never exist. Now suddenly an artist has a collection of photos that can be NFTs and sold separately. So there are all kinds of ways to utilize this, including tying royalties back to it. I mean, I think there's going to be a little bit of a battle there with existing streaming services and NFTs about how that all works. But people are going to try new things. We're going to try selling an entire the rights to a song to place in a film or a television commercial or an ad agency as an NFT. And a music supervisor can shop a marketplace and say, yeah, I like these 10 songs. I'll buy them, hold on to them, and then I'll place them in a film later. But it all comes back to the simple thing is that it's a way for an artist to get money up front to make music, which is what's lacking in the whole label structure right now.
If you read about the technology, it's not particularly friendly from an ecological standpoint. Now on auction at maidenvoyage.io, I spent more on gas fees than the album, the music itself right now on Ethereum. So obviously there's some huge roadblocks and problems, and just having that gas fee creates a huge barrier from people that even want to invest in Greg Spiro, right? Like, how do I invest in Greg Spiro when I have to pay more for the damn fee than the art itself? Which brings in a whole other bag of questions. So I'll just leave it there.
May I touch base on this from a developer standpoint? So right now, Ethereum is going through a few upgrades, which is going to sort of like cap the amount of gas that can be used on these transactions, pretty much creating a limiter effect on like all of the fees that can be incurred for one single transaction, enabling people to trade NFTs in a way that alleviates that problem. But that's sort of like an advanced state. First, you have to like learn to walk before you can run. And there are better alternatives out there for music solutions. Also the upgrade to Ethereum 2.0, which is gonna eliminate the whole miners entirely, because miners are sort of who you're paying to facilitate this transaction. So pretty much how it goes is you submit the transaction, then somebody has to do the hard math to confirm that that transaction took place on the blockchain. That's pretty much gonna be eliminated with proof of stake. A lot of people are claiming that the environment is being affected from the blockchain, when in reality, there's a lot of renewable resources which are powering the technology to operate at its highest capacity.
So I want to kind of zoom out a little bit here and actually provide an argument to refute the ecological or inefficiencies that people call out in the press all the time. So what we're paying for in blockchain is security. So in the Bitcoin world, it was the first time that you can ever have a transaction between two people without a middleman. How much does a middleman cost? Well, JP Morgan has 250,000 employees, right? Multiply that by the entire financial sector, expand on that with fraud and chargebacks, customer support, all the other problems that come into play just to determine whether or not a transaction went between two people. So the introduction of blockchain technology eliminates the need for all of that human inefficiencies and system inefficiency and costs that gets passed down to consumers, as well as hacks and problems. The blockchain can't be reversed, can't be frauded. Now let's move to art and music. This, what we're paying for is solving the problem of provenance. Provenance is, when was it created, who created it, and how did it get passed? What's the chain of custody? In art, obviously, there's a lot of risk of forgery, right? In music, there's a lot of risk of piracy, and so on and so forth. So when you are paying for provenance, and actually the name of our company is Provenance Inc. It's actually proven once. So, you know, you're born, you're proven once. You write that piece of music, it's proven once. And from there, now it can be an NFT and it can be mashed up with other NFTs. And that whole chain of custody by using the blockchain is what gives the opportunity to have huge industries around it. So an NFT can be collateral for a loan. and you can take lending off of it, right? An NFT can be a point of expression or commercialization. Think about in, you know, sometime when we have AR glasses and contact lenses and we're all getting together for that jazz, you know, dinner, all of us are at dinner and we can be flexing on the wall, putting our NFTs up on the wall or the music in the room, right? So the when Second Life becomes First Life and AR meets blockchain and NFTs, suddenly it's going to be this explosion. But you can't have this explosion of creativity and explosion of expression if you don't have provenance. And so that's what we're paying for. The first implementation of it cost, you know, $32 in gas fees to buy something. That's absurd. People are going to chase this market and solve these problems. That's what technological entrepreneurs do. I've been in the crypto industry for a long time. I have seen the change of various industries, right? That we move from monolithic structures to gatekeeping structures to democratization to decentralization. And when the technology keeps up with those changes, it empowers the creators and the new creator economies become abundant. We've seen this with open source. So now with tokenization, with Bitcoin, for example, when you buy Bitcoin, you're actually investing in the future you want to see, and you're owning a piece of it. Imagine if you could own a piece of the internet in 1993. You couldn't. There was no tokenization of the internet. You could build a company on it. You could invest in stocks. But you couldn't own a piece of that. Now it's the NFT. People can invest in the future they want to see. The future that we want to all see is a future where the creators are empowered. But we have to fund the revolution to get to the Renaissance.
What you're listening to is an edited down version of our maiden voyage live stream, which took place on April 10th. If you want to watch the full conversation, go to our website, check out jazz.org. And if you're an artist or a creator, musical, visual, or otherwise, go to nftoasis.co and see how you can be involved. Again, maidenvoyage.io for all the NFTs. Our website too, check out jazz.org. And definitely check out Lewis Mark's NFT offering, the Philadelphia Experiment. Learn more at Bandcamp. Thank you all for spending some time with us. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'd like to give a huge shout out and thanks to all of our special guests on the show. Greg, Miguel, Olivia, also Will and Patrick from NFT Oasis. Oran, Etkin, and Lewis Marks. We hope you are subscribed to the podcast. And if you have already, give us a review. That would be awesome. Also, follow us on social media at Checkout Jazz. That's my Twitter handle. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.